for all those who are here to worship with us today, and for all those who are joining us online via live feed. So happy that you are with us to worship. Now, you may have come here today expecting to hear Pastor Springer preach the message, but he and his family are vacationing this week in South Padre, Texas. And so he asked me to fill in for him this week. For those of you who may be new here and do not know who I am, my name is Bill Gaethke. I am the executive pastor here at Northwest. Now, I don't get to preach as often as I once did, but it is always a privilege and an honor to stand before you and to share with you a message from the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles with you today, I invite you to turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10, and we will read verses 12 and 13 as our text this morning. And I call this message, "Don't Tempt Me, But If You Do, I'm Ready." So let's begin reading together, and then we'll talk through this text together. Beginning with 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul wrote as follows, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Amen. Question: have you ever felt as if the entire world was against you? Well, if you have, I have news for you, because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it is. If you are a friend of God, you are an enemy of the world. And dear friend, God expects you and I, from the moment we get up in the morning until the time we go to bed at night, to go out and whip the world. So this morning I want to share with you three ways that we can do exactly that. We're talking today about temptation. And I want you to know that it does not matter whether you are young, middle-aged, or old. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, intelligent or illiterate. And it does not matter if you are a brand new Christian or a seasoned veteran. Because temptation has broken up more marriages, destroyed more families, killed more ministries than anything and everything else put together. And the thing about temptation is that it can all happen very quickly. At approximately 9 o'clock in the morning of July 23rd, 2001, four young cousins, three girls and a boy, ages 11 to 16, waded out into knee-deep water at a beach in Far Rockaway, Queens, New York. Within minutes, three of the four were dead. You see, all four had been yanked off their feet by waves that grabbed them and dragged them under the water, by a current so violent and so quick that before you could say the word "gone," they were. What caused this catastrophe? Well, oceanographers call it an undertow. Now, an undertow can only affect a swimmer because they only occur in the water near the shore. So if you don't go swimming, you'll never be caught up by an undertow. And yet there is another ocean phenomenon that can literally reach up onto a beach and grab you and drag you into deep water. Environmentalists call it the killer at the seashore. It's more commonly known as a rip or a rip current. And the reason a rip is so dangerous is that it actually forms on the beach. In other words, children could be wading in shin-deep water, and a rip current could literally suck them out to sea in a matter of seconds. And that is because beaches by nature are very unstable. The mixture of sand and pebbles and rocks and shells and water makes a beach soft and malleable, which also makes a beach very dangerous. And that is because every time a wave hits the beach, it actually changes the contours of the sand, making depressions in the sand that forms a rip current on the beach. And so if a child is standing at the edge of such a depression, the ground may suddenly disappear from under them, and that child could be dragged out to sea by the rip current. Well, now that's the end of our oceanography lesson for today. I do hope you've been taking notes. There will be a short 25-question quiz at the end of this sermon. But for right now, we are talking about a special kind of rip current, which is the rip current of temptation. Now, you may think you're standing in a safe place, but before you know it, and often without warning, this rip current of temptation can jerk your feet right out from under you also. And that is why the Apostle Paul said in verse 12, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls." I'm reminded of a story I once heard of a man who was browsing in a pet store. And he saw a beautiful parrot standing on a perch. And the parrot had a red string tied to his left leg and a green string tied to his right leg. So he asked the store owner why the strings were attached to the bird's legs, to which the owner said, "Well, sir, this is a highly trained creature. If you pull the red string, he speaks French. If you pull the green string, he speaks Spanish." Well, the curious customer was tempted to pull both strings at the same time to see what would happen. So he asked the store owner, "Well, what happens if I pull both strings at once?" To which the parrot replied, "I'll fall off my perch, you idiot." You see, giving in to temptation always carries with it unintended and undesired consequences. Now, if you and I are going to go out and whip the world, then first we are going to have to learn how to handle temptation. And yet we need to be careful that we don't become, as the British writer Oscar Wilde, who once said, "I can resist anything except temptation." I came across this little prayer a while ago that sums up our problem pretty well, I think. And it goes like this: "Dear Lord, so far today, I'm doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. And I have charged nothing on my credit card all day. But in a minute, I'll be getting out of bed. And then I think I'm going to really need your help." Well, dear friends, we all need help when it comes to fighting temptation. And we find that help in the text that we are going to study today. So let's look more closely at three things that the Apostle Paul says that we need to do if we are going to be successful when it comes to facing temptation. Okay, are you ready? Here we go. Number one, Paul says, don't be deceived by the experience of temptation. Don't be deceived by the experience of temptation. Again, verse 13, Paul said, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Now, everyone who has ever lived on the face of the earth has been tempted. And yet, that does not mean that we are all tempted in the same way, because we're not. You see, temptation affects different people in different ways. And therefore, what may tempt you may not tempt me. But what may not tempt you, I may struggle with mightily. For example, I love chocolate chip cookies. Now, not necessarily the store-bought ones, but you know the home-baked, warm, gooey chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven. Now, my problem is I could never eat just one or two. I'm tempted to eat seven or eight cookies. And so to avoid that temptation, my wife Evelyn simply stopped baking chocolate chip cookies. No cookies, no temptation. And yet for others, your temptation may be butterscotch ice cream or homemade apple pie. But regardless of what may tempt you or what may tempt me, the point is we're all tempted by something. And so don't think that there's something wrong with you if you are being tempted. In fact, there's probably something wrong with you if you're not. You see, to be tempted is to be human. Now, there are some people who get the idea that once they give their life to Jesus, once they get saved, they no longer have to worry about temptation. Well, if that is something that you think, then I've got some news for you also. Because, dear friend, when you get saved, you will face more temptation than you ever faced before you came to Jesus. And that is because before you came to Jesus, you were not a threat to the devil. Now think about it. You were not sharing your testimony with your friends because you had no testimony to share. You were not telling people about all the wonderful things that Jesus has done for you, how he has changed your life, how he has filled that void in your heart with the love of Christ. And you were not inviting people to come to church with you. In short, the devil wasn't all that concerned about you because he had you right where he wanted you. And so he had no reason to tempt you because you were not a threat to his kingdom. And yet understand that the very moment you became a child of God, you became an enemy of the devil. In fact, as far as he is concerned, you just became public enemy number one. And you have earned a spot on his most wanted list. Now you may say, well, preacher, if I am a child of God and the devil has no claim or power over me, then why would the devil even waste his time trying to tempt me since he cannot have my soul? And that's true. The devil cannot pry your soul or my soul out of the hand of Christ. As John 6:39 says, for this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none. Now underscore in your minds, in your hearts, those words, shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. You see, when you come to Jesus, your soul is forever secured in heaven by the blood of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And yet, while the devil cannot have your soul, please understand that our enemy wants to destroy your testimony. He does not want you to lead anyone else to Jesus. And temptation and overconfidence are two of his greatest tools that he uses to damage and destroy our testimony and weaken our walk with Christ. And so understand that the temptation is not repelled when one becomes a Christian, because the Holy Spirit is not a temptation repellent. In fact, the strongest Spirit-filled Christian in the world could have his or her legs just knocked right out from under them from the rip current of temptation. And it can happen without warning. And so let me just sum up what we've talked about thus far with three bullet points about temptation. Point number one, you will face temptation as long as you live. Now that's a fact. Get used to it. Learn how to deal with it. You will face temptation as long as you live. Point number two, to be tempted is neither a flaw nor a failure. To be tempted is to be human. And point number three, temptation in and of itself is not a sin until we act on it. As Shakespeare once said, it is one thing to be tempted, it is another thing to fall. You see, if temptation were a sin, then Jesus was a sinner. Now, I don't say that glibly, and no, that is not blasphemy. For Hebrews 4:15 tells us that Jesus was in all ways tempted as we are tempted, and yet without sin. So, dear friend, don't be deceived into thinking that if you are tempted, you're not saved or a child of God or there is something wrong with you. The truth is, probably, if you're not tempted, just the opposite is true. So, first, Paul says, don't be deceived by the experience of temptation. But secondly, Paul says, don't be defeated by the exercise of temptation. Don't be defeated by the exercise of temptation. Now, Paul goes on to say, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Now, at this point, I know two things about temptation. On one hand, I know that I am going to be tempted, and so are you. But on the other hand, I know that I am never going to be tempted beyond a degree. I'm not going to face a greater temptation than I am able to bear. And that isn't because I'm so powerful, because I'm not. But because God said so right here in his word. And God is always faithful. Now just let those three words just sink into your heart and your soul and your mind. God is faithful. Come on, say it with me one time. God is faithful. And that means that when you pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, he will do exactly that. I once saw a bumper sticker on a car that said, lead me not into temptation, I can find it myself. And how true that is. Now understand that God never leads us in a temptation, but he will always deliver us from it. And yet there's one little caveat. If we'll let him. If we'll let him. Now James 1:13 says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. Now, God will test us as his children, but he'll never tempt us as his children. And so what is James saying here? Well, James is saying, don't ever try to justify your sin by exaggerating the strength of the temptation or by underestimating the power of God. Let me repeat that one more time because it's so important. Don't ever try to justify your sin by exaggerating the strength of the temptation or underestimating the power of God. Dear friend, if we get swept away by the rip current of temptation, it is because we have allowed ourselves to get too close to the sea of temptation. And yet there is something else that James 1:13 says to us, which is this. Yes, the devil will continually tempt you. Nonetheless, you cannot blame your sin on the devil either. We cannot blame our sin on the devil. Now, those of us here today who are 55 or 60 years of age or older will no doubt recall the comedian Flip Wilson, who back in the early 1970s developed a character in his act known as Geraldine Jones. And every time Geraldine was caught in a lie or caught doing some other mischievous misdoings, she always responded by saying, "The devil made me do it." And the audiences would laugh and laugh and laugh. Well, guess what? You can never say the devil made me do it, because the truth is the devil cannot even make an unbeliever sin, much less a believer. And dear friends, that means when you sin, it's your fault. When I sin, it's my fault. Now, we don't like to admit that, but it's true. It's not God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. And it's not the world's fault. It's our fault. James 4, verse 7 says this, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You know, too many times the problem is that we don't want to resist the temptation that the devil has set before us. Because the enemy has a way of presenting sin in a very attractive package. A package that does not seem to be harmful. In fact, it's a package that appears to be enjoyable and pleasurable. Again, much like those freshly baked warm chocolate chip cookies. And then when we fall and commit a sin, we don't want to accept the responsibility for it. Rather, we look for someone else to blame. Now, talking about blame, I once heard a story about an Italian, a German, and a redneck who were doing construction work on a tall building. And every day they took their lunch break together way up high on the girders of the building on which they were working. One day the Italian worker opened his lunchbox and said, "Meatball sandwich again? If I get meatballs for lunch one more time this week, I'm going to jump off this building." Next, the German opened his lunchbox and said, "Wiener Schnitzel again? If I get Wiener Schnitzel for lunch one more time, I too am going to jump." Then the redneck opened his lunchbox and said, "Bologna? If I get a bologna sandwich for lunch one more time this week, I'm jumping too." Well, the next day at work, the Italian opened his lunchbox and saw another meatball sandwich, and he jumped off the building. The German then opened his lunchbox and found Wiener Schnitzel again, and he too jumped. Then the redneck opened his lunchbox and found another bologna sandwich, and he jumped as well. Now, at their funerals, the Italian's wife was weeping, and she said, "If I had only known how tired he was of meatball sandwiches, I would have given him lasagna." The German's wife was also weeping and said, "I too didn't realize how much he hated Wiener Schnitzel. I would have given him Sauerbraten." Then everyone turned and stared at the redneck's wife, to which she said, "Don't look at me, he always made his own lunch." You see, so often we create our own problems. And when we fall into the devil's traps, we then try to look for someone else to blame, and our favorite scapegoat is the devil. And yet I want you to think about this. If the devil can make you do anything wrong, wouldn't it stand to reason that he would make you do everything wrong? If he could make you sin some of the time, don't you think he would make you sin all of the time? In fact, if our sin were the devil's fault, God would have laid our sins on the devil and not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if the devil were removed from the face of the earth today, you and I would still be tempted tomorrow. Because we as human beings have all inherited Adam's sin nature. And dear friend, we will struggle with that sin nature until the day the trumpet blows and we go to meet the Lord in the air and be with him for all eternity. And so we can't blame our sin on the devil. And we cannot blame our sin on temptation. As it has been said, no degree of temptation justifies any degree of sin. Now the truth is that people do not sin because they are tempted to sin. No, they sin because they want to sin. People do not give in to temptation because they have to, but because they want to. And people do not give in to temptation because they cannot resist it. Rather, they give in to temptation because they will not resist it. And we know that to be true, because God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. And so first Paul says, don't be deceived by the experience of temptation. Secondly, he says, don't be defeated by the exercise of temptation. But finally, Paul says, don't be detoured from the escape of temptation. Don't be detoured from the escape of temptation. So what is God's plan to turn temptation into triumph? So Paul goes on to say, but with the temptation, God will also provide a way of escape that you and I may be able to endure it. So God's plan for turning temptation into triumph is not to endure temptation, but to escape temptation. Now keep in mind that we're not talking here about troubles and trials and tribulations of life. No, we're talking about temptation. You see, the Bible says we are to endure trials. The Bible says we are to endure troubles. And we are to endure tribulation. But we are to escape temptation. And yet so many people get in the trouble because they try to do just the opposite. Instead of enduring trouble and escaping temptation, they try to escape trouble and endure temptation. Now, if you try to escape trouble and endure temptation, beloved, you are going to wind up failing miserably at both. And the fact is, you may not always be able to escape trouble, but you are always able to escape temptation. And what I'm about to say next, please know I say with all love and respect. Dear friend, if you try to endure temptation, you're a fool. I'm sorry, there's no kind way to say it. You are a fool. Because God promises there will always be a safety valve. There will always be an escape hatch for you to flee to. You do not have to give in to temptation whenever you're in the room of temptation. Whether you have walked into that room on purpose or fell into it by mistake, there will always be an exit sign for you to flee to. And men, I know we live in this macho world, this I can handle anything that comes my way world. But I don't mind telling you that temptation is the one thing that should make cowards of us all. Mark Twain once said, there are several good protections against temptation, but the surest is cowardice. In other words, it's easier to stay out than it is to get out. So how do you escape temptation? Well, again, first of all, if possible, do not allow yourself to get into a tempting situation. You know, too many times we're like that little boy sitting under an apple tree that belonged to his farmer next door. The farmer saw him and walked over to him and said, "Son, are you trying to steal an apple?" To which the little boy said, "No, sir, I'm trying not to." Now, if you don't want to eat the devil's apples, then stay out of his orchard. Now, let me tell you a second way to escape temptation. If you do happen to stumble into a tempting situation, get out of it immediately. Now, did you know that the Bible never says that we are to fight temptation? No, the Bible says we are to flee temptation. Let me give you a couple verses. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 says, flee sexual immorality. You see, fleeing does not make us a coward. It makes us courageous. Now, fleeing temptation might mean that you have to do different things in different situations. It may mean that you have to do, as that 1975 Paul Simon song said, get on the bus, Gus, or make a new plan, Stan. Don't be coy, Roy, just get yourself free. Now, many times you'll find that the best way to escape temptation is by the King's Highway, two legs and a hard run. Proverbs 6:17 says, the highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. So remember, when we walk down the streets of life, we're going to turn many corners. And many times when we turn those corners, we are going to come face to face with temptation. And when you do, just remember that God has already prepared a means of escape for you. And understand that God is never early and he's never late. He doesn't provide an escape route before the temptation or after the temptation, but he does so with the temptation. And so I want to close this message by sharing with you another little prayer that I think each and every one of us ought to pray when we begin each day. It goes like this. Lord, when there is opportunity, take away my inclination. And when there is inclination, take away my opportunity. As the worship team comes forward for our closing song, let's bow and pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that each and every person lives on the face of this earth, are tempted every day and in many different ways. And yet, Lord, because you have loved us so much, you will always provide a means of escape for us. So, Lord, as we prepare to leave your house this morning and go back out into the world, Lord, help us to be strong. Help us be strong in our Christian walk with you. And help us to be constantly aware of just how quickly and without warning the rip current of temptation can attack us and drag us down. Lord, bless us and protect us this week. And may we be a blessing to someone else in return. These things we pray in the powerful, holy, and blessed name of Jesus. Amen.